And now, Lord, open my mouth so that I can speak your word. Open our ears so that we can hear your message. And open our hearts so that we can change our ways. By your power and through your grace and love. Amen. Please sit. Well, today is St. James's Day, and so our Gospel reading is, I hope, that well-known passage from St. Matthew. If we just think a little about it, rather than just say, oh yes, I know that story, it will show us something. I wonder what mother would not like to see her favourite boys at the top of the guest list and in the best places next to the host. Oh, Jesus, let my boys sit next to you at the top. Oh, you know how good they've been, and I would be so happy. Well, maybe we can relate to this. But going and kneeling down in front of Jesus was a bit much. Can you see yourself doing that? It was rather over the top, I think. And James and John would have been really embarrassed by this behaviour. It's rather like a case of dad dancing, where one's children really don't want to be associated with you. Oh, dad, really, it's not cool. But we don't actually know if James and John had played any part in getting their mother to do this. Had they encouraged her? Did they want this for themselves? Well, I expect somewhere they might be pleased. Jesus turns to them and asks, do you understand what you're asking for? Are you up to it all, following the road that I'm going on? And well, James and John, not really thinking about what this road might be, but just about getting the privileged places, answer, oh yes. Well, they get told that this honour is not Jesus's to give out, but that they will follow Jesus's road. I doubt they expected this answer, nor understood what the consequences would be. However, the other 10 disciples had a rather different reaction. Who the heck do they think they are? Now, much grumbling ensues, but Jesus then explains how his way is upside down to the way of the world. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Jesus' words would have silenced them all, and I expect there was a lot of looking around, wondering who would ask what this all meant. And you know, that's the same question that we should be asking ourselves. The great and the powerful becoming servants, and slaves no longer being the bottom of the social pecking order. Well, it certainly would be a very different world, and I think upside down would scarcely describe it. But the more I think about it, the more I doubt that we could actually achieve that ideal in this way. Human beings just like order and some form of predictable way of life. This is not saying that things are always like that. No, certainly not. The pandemic, let's say, has already altered life for all of us, and we are lucky that we live in a country with good health care. Many millions do not know that at all. I will let you think of such places, and the plight of people who cannot even depend on there being any electricity or water each day. Those people with any medical services many miles away in walking distance. Yes, perhaps we need to start thinking about our own status here in the Hambledon Valley. We live in a beautiful place with a roof over our heads. There are shops, and there's food, and there's everything we take for granted. We are actually so privileged and powerful. It really is hard to see how it is for other people outside our own community, and even sometimes for our own neighbours. Well, when James and John's mother asked Jesus for what she wanted for her boys, we see an example of the old order of the world, the one we know about so well because we live in it. We do things for others, so often for a reward or for a favour that we hope to get paid back for in return later on. We rank people socially in order and view those doing jobs that we don't want to do as being somehow other or not one of us. The shop assistant, the postie, the dust cart crew, the cleaner, unless she or he actually comes inside and cleans our house, the homeless big issue seller. Yes, that's naming just a few that we meet in our everyday lives. Are we inviting them over our doorstep? We might give them a tip at Christmas, but that can be almost a bribe to keep them doing their job. Not everyone can be a king, but I expect most of us could work in a shop. Our society is, in fact, very unequal. We see this in the food banks that we now have in this country. The one can trust, a really good name if you think about it, is just one of those many organisations trying to help those families who are in real need, and need is all around us, less than 10 miles away. Now, I think we've recognised that and that we can help, and I know people are generously putting things in the boxes in the church in the valley for the one can trust. But I have a nagging feeling that this is not quite what I think Jesus thought it should be like. Has our gift just become a way of salving our conscience and making us feel okay, while allowing us to keep our distance from something that makes us uncomfortable? Have any of us actually thought of volunteering to help? Because I expect help is really needed. And there are plenty of other organisations who could do with another pair of hands and feet to do some of the tasks. By doing something like that, it would be far more like what Jesus was meaning. It becomes a way of giving ourselves and our life. Well, it's easy to just keep on doing the same old things, keeping things as they have been here in the valley and in our churches. Are we thinking at all, or are we just wanting life to go on unchanged because that's what we know and that's what is safe? Most of the people in the valley are not here with us inside this church today at this service, which is sad, but inevitable. Perhaps, though, the model we offer in worship and in our lives is not actually what people are looking for. But to use a modern turn of phrase, Jesus was a disruptor. He came to shake us out of our safe, comfortable lethargy and show us how God wished things to be. A new way of living, a way that we all can care for each other, recognizing everyone as a human being made in some mysterious way in the image of God. Jesus turned away from using power to gain followers. He used love and the way he lived and the disciples often really struggled in trying to understand what he was on about. It was only after the cross, the resurrection, and the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost that the disciples turned into apostles and really got the message. So perhaps we should not be daunted by what Jesus taught, as it is hard to come to grips with. But that must not stop us trying to do so and live how Jesus showed us. One part of this could be the Rural Review, which is looking at how the rural church serves the people it is there for to minister to. And the Church of England ministers to everyone, whether they are members or not. New vision is needed for this task, because our society and the world are changing and are very different to how they were when Carol and I moved into the Valley some 43 years ago. I really think that all those who volunteer and work in and for the church and the community to help others, I really thank them for that work. It is a wonderful gift, and it is with that selfless giving that does enable us to feel that this is the way Jesus called us to live like. A life lived to the full, a life of love and of service and generosity and giving to others. If we do that, we will find that we are rewarded in return by God's love and generosity to us. And if you're not sure, well, just look and see how it changed James and John. Amen.